Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
Welcome to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. This is a program where you send us your questions and comments, and we then talk about it. You can always email us at radio@ldschurch.org, radio@ldschurch.org. And you can always check out our website, radio.lds.org. We received an email that was sent to us anonymously. It says, quote, "Not too many people understand the story behind the first vision. Could you please do something on the Mormon Channel Q&A about the first vision?" Close quote. In order to understand the first vision, it's important to understand the great apostasy which occurred after the death of Jesus Christ. Following the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, apostasy gradually became widespread. Persecution, divisions, and apostasy increased. The Savior's apostles were rejected and slain. His teachings were corrupted, and the priesthood of God was taken from the earth. The ancient prophet Amos had foretold a time of apostasy and spiritual darkness. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." That from Amos 8, verses 11 through 12. History reveals that within a few decades, there was a falling away from the church, as the apostles had prophesied. This falling away is known as the Great Apostasy. The darkness lasted many centuries. However, God had foreseen this and had planned for the restoration of the gospel in the latter days. Elder Russell M. Nelson in the October 2006 General Conference talks about the Great Apostasy.
Prior to his crucifixion, the Lord Jesus Christ had established his church. It included apostles, prophets, 70s, teachers, and so forth. And the Master sent his disciples into the world to preach his gospel. After a time, the church as established by the Lord fell into spiritual decay. His teachings were altered, his ordinances were changed. The great apostasy came as had been foretold by Paul, who knew that the Lord would not come again except there come a falling away first. This great apostasy followed the pattern that had ended each previous dispensation. The very first was in the time of Adam. Then came dispensations of Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and others. Each prophet had a divine commission to teach of the divinity and the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. In each age, these teachings were meant to help the people, but their disobedience resulted in apostasy. Thus, all previous dispensations were limited in time and location. They were limited in time because each ended in apostasy. They were limited in location to a relatively small segment of planet Earth. Thus, a complete restoration was required. God the Father and Jesus Christ called upon the prophet Joseph Smith to be the prophet of this dispensation. All divine powers of previous dispensations were to be restored through him. This dispensation of the fullness of times would not be limited in time or in location. It would not end in apostasy, and it would fill the world.
That's Elder Russell M. Nelson. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. You can always check out our homepage at radio.lds.org. And if you'd like to hear earlier versions of this program, you can find those. They're available for podcast. They're at radio.lds.org. We received an anonymous email that asks us if we could do something on the Mormon Channel about the first vision. Elder Bruce R. McConkie of the Quorum of the Twelve taught that preparation for restoring the gospel began centuries before the first vision. He said, quote, "Beginning in the 14th century, the Lord began to prepare those social, educational, religious, economic, and governmental conditions under which he could more easily restore the gospel." Close quote. Elder James E. Talmage of the Quorum of the Twelve said the Renaissance, a rebirth of learning, particularly in literature, art, and science, was not a chance occurrence, but rather a development predetermined in the mind of God to illumine the benighted minds of men in preparation for the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which was appointed to be accomplished some centuries later. The Americas were discovered. The Constitution guaranteed religious freedom. And the printing press was invented. Reformers John Wycliffe, Martin Luther, and John Calvin began to challenge the practices and teachings of existing churches, recognizing that the churches had strayed from the teachings of Christ, close quote. Elder M. Russell Ballard in the October 1994 General Conference talks about the apostasy and the reformers.
The beautiful simplicity of Christ's gospel was under attack from an enemy that was even more destructive than the scourges and the crosses of early Rome, the philosophical meanderings of uninspired men. The doctrine became based more on popular opinion than on revelation. The period of time was called the Dark Ages. They were dark largely because the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ had been lost. Then in 1517, the Spirit moved Martin Luther, a German priest who was disturbed at how far the church had strayed from the gospel as taught by Christ. His work led to a Reformation, a movement that was taken up by other such visionaries as John Calvin, Huldrych Zwingli, John Wesley, and John Smith. I believe these reformers were inspired to create a religious climate in which God could restore lost truths and priesthood authority. Similarly, God inspired the earlier explorers and colonizers of America and the framers of the Constitution of the United States to develop a land and governing principles to which the gospel could be restored. By 1820, the world was ready for the restitution of all things, spoken of by Peter and all God's holy prophets since the world began. At this time, religious excitement was sweeping across the countryside in upstate New York. Ministers from different denominations vied zealously for the loyalty and for the faithful in villages and towns, including Palmyra, the home of the family of Joseph Smith Sr. and Lucy Mack Smith. The Smith family followed this religious excitement, and members of the family were proselyted to various faiths. Mother Smith and three of the children, Hiram, Samuel, and Sophrina, joined one church, while Father Smith and his eldest son Alvin affiliated with another. When 14-year-old Joseph Jr. considered which church to join, he investigated each denomination carefully, listening to the respective ministers and trying to sort out the truth. He knew there was one faith, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, but which was the one, he did not know.
That's Elder M. Russell Ballard. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. If you have a comment for the Mormon Channel on this or any other program, feel free to email us. Our email address is radio@ldschurch.org. If you'd like to listen to this program again, you can podcast it. Just go to our homepage at radio.lds.org. From 1820 till today, the message is the same. Joseph Smith saw God the Father and his son, Jesus Christ. The following is a portrayal of Joseph Smith's account concerning the first vision.
He will cleanse the world.
So great were the confusion and strife among the different denominations that it was impossible for a person young as I was to come to any certain conclusion who was right and who was wrong. Considering that God could not be the author of so much confusion, I determined to investigate the subject more fully. During this time of great excitement, my mind was called up to serious reflection and great uneasiness. Still, I kept myself aloof from all these parties, though I attended their meetings as often as occasion would permit. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. If ye then know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith.
Never did any passage of Scripture come with more power to the heart of man than this did at this time to mine. It seemed to enter with great force into every feeling of my heart. I reflected on it again and again, knowing that if any person needed wisdom from God, I did. For how to act, I did not know. At length, I came to the conclusion that I must either remain in darkness and confusion, or else I must do as James directs. That is, ask of God. After I had retired to the place where I had previously designed to go, finding myself alone, I kneeled down and began to offer up the desires of my heart. I saw a pillar of light above the brightness of the sun, which descended gradually until it fell upon me. When the light rested upon me, I saw two personages whose brightness and glory defy all description. One of them spake unto me, calling me by name, and said, pointing to the other,
Joseph, this is my beloved son. Hear him.
Thus I saw the bread was sent, so that he did send to thy womb.
object in going to inquire of the Lord was to know which of all the sects was right. I was answered that I must join none of them. And many other things did he say unto me.
That is a powerful account of the first vision. If you'd like to hear the hymn, Joseph Smith's First Vision, you can go to our website, radio.lds.org, and click on the program page and click on History of the Hymns. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, and we're talking about the first vision. For almost 200 years, we have testified that Joseph Smith did see God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and that he is the prophet of the Restoration. Even our prophet, President Thomas S. Monson, testifies of the prophet Joseph Smith.
In the 135th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, we read the words of John Taylor concerning the prophet Joseph. Joseph Smith, the prophet and seer of the Lord, has done more save Jesus only for the salvation of men in this world than any other man that ever lived in it, close quote. To this fitting tribute to our beloved Joseph, I add my own testimony that I know he was God's prophet, chosen to restore the gospel of Jesus Christ in these latter days. In my first meeting with the First Presidency and Quorum of the Twelve in the temple, the hymn which we sang, honoring Joseph Smith the prophet, was and is a favorite of mine.
Plan for his breath.
I testify of this solemn truth in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
A beautiful testimony from our living prophet, President Thomas S. Monson. Thank you so much for listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. If you'd like to contact us, please email us at radio@ldschurch.org. And also visit our homepage. Our webpage is radio.lds.org. Thanks again for listening to the Mormon Channel.
You've been listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.